Well, life on a farm, a kind of laid back, ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack, I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. We're just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
Yes, indeed. It's the first Friday of the month. That means we're talking with our good friend and farmer, Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida, just to find out how the farming community is doing, because huge part of our local economy, not a part that gets a lot of news attention. We've been doing this for many, many years now. Ryan, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Oh, man, we're doing fantastic. Always better when you're around. I get so many texts every time you're on. People are so excited to hear from you. They love how you talk fast, too.
Yeah. I bet they do. That's how I save time.
I know. That's funny. A couple of things that are not, like, right in your wheelhouse, but I wanted to ask, and you can feel free to comment at all if you want. The farm bill at the federal level has not passed, half passed. What's going on?
One side of the House it's passed. The other side it's not passed.
Okay.
So they're supposed to take it up when they reconvene. But, you know, we've been doing this for years now. It's just, it seems like it never works out. But anyway, that's where we are on the farm bill. We still don't, we thought maybe we were going to have one before they went to break, but they didn't get it done. So
is there anything like, what is the consequence if we don't? And is there anything in it that if they did pass, it would make a big deal?
It just gives you support and lets you know what you can plan on for the next 5 years.
Okay.
Basically.
Okay, so it's
now,
a framework. All right.
They keep adding, stopgap type stuff just to get you by. But, you know, once it's that, yes, it's the framework. That's the best way of putting it. And then we know we can plan on X, Y, Z for the next 5 years.
Okay, so they do you like they do the military, which is instead of giving you a long-term framework, it's these short-term funding agreements, and they can't really plan, which winds up costing you inefficiency money and changing and all that. Okay, all right, that makes sense to me. I mean, that sucks.
And you know, some of the stuff that's in that, like the bankers, the bankers really look at that kind of stuff and helps determine if they're going to give you an operating loan or not. I mean, you know, it just gives you security and knowing what you can plan on for a longer term period of time.
There's nothing like instability to ruin a good free economy. So that's okay. No, that helps. That helps me understand the issue. The beef issue, which I know you're not a rancher, you're a farmer, but we kind of have two ones. One here is the Trump announcing that he wants to let the ranchers slaughter their own meat, which right now there's kind of a four company cartel that kind of controls that. That reminded me of you guys doing your own peanut treatment processing facility a few years ago. And then also the importing of beef at cost or well below market rate to try to drive down some of the local costs. American farmers, especially or ranchers in Florida, especially and elsewhere, are just losing their minds over this. Again, it's kind of a little outside of your wheelhouse, but any thoughts?
To being able to slaughter beef, I get it. Anytime you can take out a middleman, you're helping yourself. So I get that, but I also understand there's a matter of food safety and those types of things. So, yes, I'm not a rancher, but I am always for trying to cut out the middleman. If we cut out the middleman, everybody comes out better. The rancher's going to come out better. You're going to come out better. You being the consumer.
Yeah.
So, without studying it a lot, I am for taking out the middleman, but I do understand still there is a matter of, how they handle the middleman.
Yeah.
Right now, currently, everything's USDA graded and has to be done at a USDA inspected facility. So, I think with the proper regulations, I think it could be a good thing.
And what about the importing beef to compete against American beef producers and drive down the price of ground beef?
I'm not a fan for importing anything that we already can grow or make or process or whatever ourselves. I think that, the cotton industry, that's what's happened there. There's no domestic use of cotton anymore. They just import it, and it's because they started importing it. So it's a problem. I don't like it. I think that bigger fish to fry, like like the fuel prices right now.
Yeah.
You know, the corn we're currently harvesting, I'm having to haul to Laurel, Mississippi. It's about 170, 180 mile one-way trip. So my truck, my big truck, gets 5.2 miles to the gallon. That's what it averages.
On diesel?
Of diesel. So the diesel price went up when we filled up yesterday morning. It had gone up to $5.89 a gallon. So it's costing me $1.13 a mile to drive that truck to haul off my crop.
So that's $200 just to get there.
No, it's more than that. But yeah, just to get there. Just to get there is correct.
And then back, you know, you got to get an Uber back, right?
Exactly. We're making two trips, so it's costing us close to $900 a day.
My God. And there's nobody closer? I mean, there must not be, but there's nobody closer. There's no service. There's no, you know, nobody's coming in and pulling three trailers across the states for you or anything like that?
No, the next closest place we could go would be Montgomery, Alabama, which isn't much closer, but I get a better price taking it to Laurel. That's why we're doing that.
Wow.
So it's tough, you know. But what I'm getting at is, you know, everybody don't have to eat beef, or you don't have to eat it all the time or whatever, but look around in your office that you're sitting in right now and find one thing. I bet you can't find me one thing in that whole office that hadn't been on a big truck at least once.
Yeah.
And most of it's been on a big truck multiple times. So what I'm saying is the fuel deal affects every single person one way or the other. The beef deal might not affect every single person, but it is going to have a bad influence on the farmer.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and even if it wasn't on a truck, it was on a ship before that, and they run on diesel, I've heard, too, sometimes, you know? So,
correct.
It's a good point that the price of unleaded might not be terrible. I mean, it's not good, but it's not terrible.
Right.
But the price of diesel is terrible right now. And as you say, you know, everybody uses a lot of it indirectly, whether they realize it or not. Apart from the, you know, horrid situation with regards to diesel fuel and what that does for you getting your corn over to Mississippi for sale, how about weather? I know this year has really been let's say inconvenient, which is a super euphemism for what it's been. You know, drought here, storms there. Now we're back to being drought or storm. I was surprised because my perception living south of I-10 is that, you know, we've had a fair amount of rain. Then we drove over to a springs a couple of hours away, and they're in a drought. The spring doesn't even reach the river anymore, and the spring has turned green because of it. But so I know conditions can matter based on 10 or 20 miles of difference. So what are you guys dealing with?
It's still, we did start getting some rain a little bit last week, I reckon it was. My days are all running together. Last week or so, we started getting a little bit of rain. Still dry, you know, the ponds are still dry and the river and all that. But, you know, getting enough showers now to kind of get things kicked off again. All of our crops had shut down completely. I mean, they were literally starting to die. Some of our fields went 50 and 60 days without any appreciable rain. So it's been a tough year. It's kind of a weird situation. It's one of those where you're going to have to make some very difficult decisions. Like I say, the cotton and peanuts and soybeans for that matter, but especially the cotton and peanuts had shut down. So they had made all the fruit they were going to make with that amount of water. And then once it starts raining, you know, it gets all the energy it needs to start growing again, and it starts putting on more fruit. So now instead of it just, you know, constantly putting on fruit until it's time to stop, it's put on a distinct first crop. And now if the freeze will come late enough and it will continue raining some in the fall, there's an opportunity for a distinct second crop.
So did you go out and harvest in the first crop, or is that just the way it is in the field?
Correct. It is the way it is in the field.
Okay.
So it's going to be a very difficult decision-making time this fall. You know, basically peanut season is here in the next week or so. Well, some people have already started digging.
But that needs rain too, right? That needs rain to loosen up the soil.
Right. So we've had enough to loosen up the soil.
Okay.
But the thing is, there's very few peanuts on those vines right now because we didn't have enough water to make them.
Ugh.
So do you harvest those and take your losses, or do you try to get this second crop? And by getting this second crop, you may lose the first crop because it gets over mature. So you know what I mean? So it's a very difficult decision. It's not going to be an easy fall period.
Have you ever had, I mean, every year's different, right? Every year has its own weird, good, bad, whatever. Have you ever had anything quite like this with that first and second crop issue for your cotton, for your corn, for your peanuts? I mean, is this?
We have, but I wouldn't say so distinct.
Okay.
Or so drastic. You can always see, especially on peanuts, you know, when we've talked before about how checked the maturity is, we kind of sandblast or scrape the outer part of the hull off and see what color they are underneath. Well, you can do that and put them on a chart, and that chart will go up and down kind of sometimes. And that up and down is when it gets rain and when it gets dry.
Okay.
So it shows up, but I and several of the older farmers in the area that I've talked to said they haven't had one quite like this before.
So right now you've got basically two crops of the same crop, two waves of the same crop competing with each other in your mind to try to figure out when's the right time to harvest, meaning that, you know, when one is good, the other one's not good yet or not good at all. Plus, the longer you wait, the more you risk a freeze destroying it all. Or you wait too long and the early wave goes past prime and you lose money there. Is that the issue?
That's correct. So, see, there's a lot of moving parts there, a lot of things to weigh out. So,
Ryan, why don't you just go pick the good ones now and leave the bad, you know, the future ones in the ground and then come back and get those later? And I mean, you can do that, right?
I'll tell you what I thought seriously about doing, and that's just coming down there and starting my own talk show.
And you're going to give me the keys to the combine, right?
Yeah, and we'll see how this goes for a little while. And
hey,
you know, we may both find something we really like.
Maybe so. I mean, every time you come on the radio, I think to myself, man, I'm just that close to becoming a farmer right now, you know?
Yeah, I could talk you right in. I could talk anybody right into it, I believe.
Oh, man. I love you so much.
It's tough, I'm telling you.
I hear it. I mean, I hear it, you know, and I wish I was better for you, really. But I know you're a man of faith. I know, you know, somehow or other, the Lord will provide.
He always does, and I'm telling you, every day I say this is better than a real job, so.
I think the same way about my job, too, so fair enough. We always like to end with a farm fact or something like that. Do you have one for me this week?
Yeah, so it goes along with what we were just talking about. So we've talked before about peanuts. They bloom. You've seen them yourself, the little yellow flower. They bloom above ground. They get pollinated above ground, and then that little flower falls down and grows into the ground and becomes the peanut below the ground. So from the time of that yellow flower when it gets pollinated on top of the ground to the time it grows into the ground and makes a mature peanut, on average is about 60 days. So from a week or two ago, when all these blooms started happening, when it started raining, we need to keep that plant healthy for about another 60 days before we begin to harvest it. And if we can do that, then we might stand a chance at a decent crop.
60 days protecting the fields. All right. Oh, by the way, I got a great text in. Somebody said, you know what? We love you so much too. To you, talking to you, that they love you and they love hearing from you, and they love your, you know, there's a bit of a despair a lot of times in what we talk about, but it's always tempered by that faith and optimism, and they love that about you, Ryan.
Oh, absolutely. Every year I think something ain't going to work out, and God puts a way there that I never saw coming, and it makes it easier, I can tell you that.
Maybe if you don't try your hand at talk radio, you could do. You could be a preacher. I mean, you know, preacher slash farmer. My Bible does have some farmers, you know, that preach a little bit. So maybe it's possible,
that was the first job on earth, right?
There you go. All right, that's right. Tend the garden. All right, Ryan. Ryan Jenkins. He is the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Joins us every month on the first Friday to give us an update. Ryan, thank you so much for what you do. Feeding my kids, putting clothes on their back. And teaching us and helping us understand what life is like for, you know, the agricultural community. I appreciate you, sir.
Thank you so much for having us and sharing our story and for being a friend. Y'all have a good weekend.